Welcome back to The Attack. We are joined by the head coach of the Dayton Flyers, Archie Miller. Nice to have you on board with us. Bob Black, Joe Spano, welcome back.
Hey, guys, thanks.
So a hell of a year for you. I mean, it's still on a roll. You got to feel pretty good about what's been going on so far, and the future looks bright. You need shades, baby.
Yeah, you know, it's been each season is a little bit different. This season has been obviously, you know, a lot different than a year ago. There's a lot of similarities in terms of the way we've been able to win, but there's been a lot of change. And I'm proud of our guys. You know, they've been able to really weather some real adversity, and, you know, they're together, and they believe in one another. And, you know, coming down to the mark, you know, that's, you know, what a coach needs is a group that really is together and playing the right way.
You know, Coach, it was a magical run last year. You came back this year with a lot of experience, some terrific perimeter play, and you started the year, you had just enough size, led by Devin Scott. You unfortunately have to dismiss all your size from the team, and you have to go extremely small. That was some of the big adversity you had to deal with. Talk about that in-season adjustment to playing at times with four and even five perimeter players on the floor at the same time.
Yeah, it was a very unique situation when we made the change. I mean, we, you know, in all reality, had to change 85 to 90% of what we were doing on the run in December. You know, and the reason I say that is because almost every single guy had to learn a new position. So, you know, we scrapped everything. We played very free-flowing. We're playing five guards really at one time. Guys had to really, you know, embrace changes on defense and offense. And, you know, it was frustrating at times, but we got off to a great start with a couple new lineups, and the next thing you know, the chemistry really kind of set in.
How did it change the overall philosophy of what you were doing offensively and defensively by going small?
Well, I think, you know, defensively, you know, it became a real point of emphasis just in terms of how we keep the ball out of the post. You know, so many times you get in trouble when the ball gets inside and you get in foul trouble. Well, we're only playing six guys, seven guys. And one foul really means the difference. So keeping the ball out of the post, you know, fronting, trapping, doing everything we possibly could to eliminate, you know, the ball kind of getting into the paint. And really, that's been a commitment of five people being in the same place, the right place at the right time, which is hard to do, stay connected. But they knew we had to do that to be successful. You know, offensively, you know, I think the more random we were, the better we were going to be. And so the speed of how we were going to play on offense, the randomness combined with the defensive adjustments, you know, it seemed to kind of work out on its own as we just kept playing. And, you know, through 21 games with seven guys, you know, really couldn't ask much more of them.
You know, you said randomness, and that brings an interesting point. Did you find yourself having to adjust yourself as far as the amount of confidence you had in the guys to let them play pretty much at random?
Yeah, I think so. You know, one of the things that I typically like to do, and, you know, as a coach, is obviously trust those guys to learn how to play with one another, because if they learn how to play with one another, you know, they're going to be able to play against different styles and different tempos and teams without really me managing the game. And that's sort of how it happened with us. You know, we played in transition a lot. My biggest adjustment and confidence level was dealing with practice every day. You know, we really had to change our philosophy of the time, and had to change the philosophy of the style of practice we had. And that was uncomfortable at times to see how that would translate to the games.
That's the voice of Archie Miller, head coach of the Dayton Flyers, joining us here on the Spano and Black Attack. Coach, obviously, we talked about the adjustments and the turmoil and some of the things you had to deal with early in the year. Jordan Siebert was so important to you guys. Burst on the scene in the tournament last year as far as being a nationally known commodity. And his game grew even further from last season to this season. Talk about his veteran leadership and how important, as your star player and your go-to guy, he's been to your success.
Well, you know, he did have a good year. He came on last year, his first real year of playing college basketball, because, you know, as he transferred or before he transferred, he wasn't playing a huge role. But he worked extremely hard this offseason. You know, he really wasn't one-dimensional, you know, a three-point shooter, guy that could, you know, score in transition a year ago. He became a, you know, a good three-point shooter again. But, used his shot and got to the foul line a ton. Really attacked the rim in the half court. So he worked on his game. You know, he didn't take the success he had a year ago and stay the same, which is, you know, a sign of a guy who's really motivated. And then through all the change, you know, I think he's been the one guy who's been very, very steady. There are very few days where he's too high or too low. His actions speak louder than his words. And I thought very quietly he really built a really, really nice resume for himself this season. You know, to me, if we could have won the outright regular season title, he could have been arguably the player of the year in the A-10. If not, we'll find out a little bit later today. But I think he should be at least first-team all-conference. And to me, he's had a great two-year run.
You know, you fall to LaSalle. You fall in the second place. Talk about how that's going to impact your tournament going forward.
Well, I don't think it'll impact our tournament moving forward. I mean, we were hurting pretty good, still are. I mean, when you have an opportunity to win a conference championship through all the things we did, you know, that stings. For me, it really stung. I wanted our players to enjoy that. But, you know, we're the two seed. You know, we're a very balanced league. We don't play till Friday, so we get an extra day on the bye. We've got a chance, a group of people who have logged a ton of minutes to get some rest this week and prepare to play. And be excited. I mean, when you go to conference tournament time, there's two types of teams. There's the ones that wants to either get there and go home fast or not go at all. And then there's the team that has so much left to play for who wants to stay. And that's usually who we are. And I think that's who we are now. You know, our guys are motivated to advance. They want to play again for a championship. And then onward in March, a lot of these guys' first experience was in Elite Eight. So they know what the highest of highs can feel like. So I think we have a lot of ball left in us. It won't be easy. But we are excited to keep playing.
Coach, let's look at this tournament. You talk about the depth of this conference. Davidson ends up being the regular season champion, and they're a terrific story. But all the way down to UMass, above 500 in the conference, all having very good years, and a great many of these teams can make a case for inclusion in the NCAA tournament. Just talk about the depth and balance of this conference and how good this conference really is.
Well, our conference is always underrated. I think the one thing that a lot of people don't understand in our league is the quality of the coach. And then you have Bob McKillop, who's a Hall of Fame type of coach. He's played in the Elite Eight, just won our regular season. He's got a terrific team. Probably as well coached of a team as there is. You got Phil Martelli, who, you know, is again Hall of Fame-esque in terms of what he's done to the game. He coached in an Elite Eight. You have Shaka Smart, who's been in the Final Four. You have Chris Mooney, who's been in the Sweet 16. You have our program, who went to an Elite Eight last year. To me, up and down the line, you just have a lot of really good coaches and players, and that's not going to change from year to year, so you're going to get really good league races and games. And this year's no different. You know, Davidson all the way through down to UMass, St. Bonaventure, St. Joe's have all had tremendous wins. I could see any number of teams advancing to the championship game. I think Davidson and Richmond are playing as well as anyone in the country right now. And then I also think there's some sleepers just in terms of watching how UMass has been able to compete throughout the course of the year. St. Bonaventure, St. Joe's, in my opinion, is DeAndre Bembry is the most underrated player in the country. So it should be really fun.
You know, a testament to the leadership of the A-10 conference, as you guys have been picked apart a little bit over the last few years as conferences throughout, you know, the country continue to shuffle and make changes. And yet, when all the dust settles, you're one of the premier conferences in America, Ed Davidson. You know, I've really been impressed with what your conference leadership does as far as recovering from that adversity.
Well, Bernadette McGlade, our commissioner, is pretty much, if not one of the best commissioners, is the best commissioner. You know, she is so aggressive in her thinking. She's so forward in her thinking. And she's recreated this league on the run three or four times when programs have left, which in most cases people said the Atlantic 10 would collapse. It would be a one-bid league. It would be a two-bid league. And since I've been here in 3 years, three seasons, well, there's been 15 NCAA tournament bids with six a year ago, which was more than a few of the Power Five. This year will be multiple bids again. And her addition to VCU and Davidson through all that transmission, Joyce Mason as well, has just been spectacular in terms of what the product has been able to stay up. And this league will be here for a long time, and she deserves a lot of the credit.
You know, we were talking to Jerry Palm earlier, and we asked him a question about whether or not some of the power conferences were going to be disappointed. A-10 is a power conference, and I'm looking at this, boy, five minimum, could be six. Do you see maybe at the end of it, if somebody gets upset in that early round, that they're going to get left out?
You know, I don't think so. And you know, so much of the NCAA tournament, you study that as a coach and as a program, and so much of the NCAA tournament is about your non-conference. You know, who did you play? Who were you willing to play? Who did you beat? And that really starts and stops with your ability to get in the NCAA tournament. If you win in your league, there's really nothing anyone can say because, you know, it's an unbalanced schedule. Most every conference is an unbalanced schedule. And, again, your quality wins within the conference and what you're able to do really adds to your non-conference. So could an early departure in postseason hurt you? Oh, of course it could. But usually as you go into postseason, you either are in the tournament right there for the tournament or you have no chance for the tournament. I think every coach really knows that. In our league, I think right now we have three locks, with us being one of them, VCU, Davidson being the second and third. And I think any number of teams could win the conference championship, which could cause a fourth team maybe to get in there. I look for Richmond to be a dark horse if they get to the conference championship game of having at least 21 to 22 wins, and in my opinion, being right there to get in that large berth as well.
Excellent. Coach, thanks so much for a couple of minutes. Best of luck. Hopefully another magical run, not only through the A-10 conference tournament, but more importantly, through the NCAA conference tournament. Enjoy Brooklyn. I think it's a great venue and brings great visibility to A-10 for their tournament each and every year.
No, it's an awesome year, awesome venue. It's exciting to be there, and I appreciate you guys having me.
Our pleasure. Bye-bye now.